Good morning. You've been listening to special coverage of the confirmation hearings for Judge Neil Gorsuch, Donald Trump's nominee to sit on the Supreme Court. This is the first full day of questioning from members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And this comes 13 months after Justice Antonin Scalia's death created a vacancy on the Supreme Court. Last year, President Obama nominated Merrick Garland to replace Justice Scalia, but Republicans refused to hold hearings. Now, if Neil Gorsuch is confirmed, he would restore a 5-4 conservative court majority. Republicans say they want him confirmed as quickly as possible. In the upcoming term, the court is expected to hear cases affecting gerrymandering, voting rights, the travel ban, and so many more important cases. On today's Your Call, we are spending this half hour looking at Judge Gorsuch's record. Billy Courier is Deputy Director of Legal Progress at American Progress, where his work focuses on courts, the law, and the influence of judicial elections and campaign contributions on judges. Hi, Billy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Well, we're not really learning much from these hearings about Judge Gorsuch. I wanted to point out a New York Times analysis that looked at all of his rulings and found that he is more conservative than Justice Roberts, Alito, and Scalia. Judge Thomas is more conservative than Gorsuch, according to the New York Times analysis. But do you agree with this assessment?
I do, actually. I mean, I think that if you look at a few areas of the law where Judge Gorsuch's views have gotten the most attention, like his desire to overrule the Chevron case about, you know, the government's power to regulate things, Justice Thomas is really the only justice on the court right now who agrees with that view. So I think that the evidence does show that he is extremely conservative.
The Chevron case was brought up many times. Can you just give us some background on this and talk about why it's so important?
Sure. Well, it was a 1984 Supreme Court case. And basically in that case, the court said that if you've got an agency, a federal agency, that's interpreting a federal law that's vague or ambiguous, then judges should sort of defer to the agency experts when it comes to what that law actually means. And it was a very common sense rule. And it's been the law since 1984. And it's really important for agencies like the EPA because the EPA enforces a lot of sort of broadly written pollution statutes. Congress, whenever they pass a pollution law, leaves it up to the agency to sort of determine how much pollution is safe, how much is unsafe. And Chevron is about the courts deferring to the decision by those agency experts.
And why is that so important? I mean, what do we expect might come up in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm sort of looking ahead because Judge Gorsuch is so young for a Supreme Court nominee.
49, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. He's the youngest since Justice Thomas.
Wow.
But, you know, looking ahead to future administrations that may want to pass, you know, sweeping environmental regulations, such as President Obama's Clean Power Plan, which is sort of being challenged as exceeding the EPA's authority under Chevron right now, I think that in the future, if we see, you know, other wide-ranging regulatory programs under the Clean Air Act or the Clean Water Act, a judge like Judge Gorsuch would really want to second-guess the EPA's determination when it comes to those regulations.
What other cases really stand out for you and give us information about how he would rule? Because in the next term, we've got a lot of really important cases coming affecting gerrymandering, voting rights, the travel ban, just to name a few.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he doesn't have much of a record in terms of voting rights because there isn't a lot of those issues in the region where he's a judge. But I think that if you look at the Muslim ban, that was something that Senator Leahy, I believe, just brought up. I don't know that he's got any rulings on national security matters, but if you look at the work that he did for the Department of Justice back in 2005 and 2006, that was a time when the Department of Justice was really arguing that the president had nearly unlimited authority over anything related to national security. And Judge Gorsuch helped the Department of Justice come up with those arguments and defend those arguments. And if that's, you know, his view of the president's authority, I think that does not bode well for the people who are looking to the courts to protect their rights in the face of the travel ban.
Billy Courier is Deputy Director of Legal Progress at American Progress. And we're taking a break from the confirmation hearings. They're at lunch right now, so we're going to be talking about Judge Gorsuch. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. This is going to be about a half hour, and they are expected to resume at about 9:45. And I'd also like to invite Daniel Goldberg to join the conversation. Daniel serves as Legal Director at the Alliance for Justice. He also served as Chief of Staff of the Department of Justice Office of Legislative Affairs. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Well, we're not really learning much from these hearings, unfortunately. You have studied Judge Gorsuch. What really stands out for you? What is telling to you about his record and what he would bring to the Supreme Court?
Well, following up on the comments that Billy just had, I think what is abundantly clear from his record, both at the Department of Justice and as a judge on the 10th Circuit and his other writings, is he is an extreme judge who will not be independent to the president, who consistently sides with the powerful, with corporations, against everyday Americans, whether that's efforts he takes to erode critical protections for worker safety, for equal opportunity, for rights for disabled Americans, for the rights of women to have a fair opportunity to succeed in the workplace. This is an individual who consistently undermines critical protections that are in place in our Constitution or acts of Congress. He is somebody who believes that the law is designed to serve corporations and the powerful. And he consistently on the 10th Circuit undermines cases where individuals, everyday Americans, have been wronged. Whether that's, I think people have heard of an individual who was driving a truck in the middle of the winter in Illinois when it was minus 27 degrees out. And when his truck broke down, he waited for 3 hours for a repair truck until he couldn't feel his torso. He was having trouble breathing. He was his feet were numb. He did what any reasonable American would do, which is go seek shelter so he wouldn't die of frostbite. When that company fired him, that worker, for doing something as reasonable as trying to save his own life, Neil Gorsuch would have held that individual was rightly fired. This is just one case among many that just epitomizes, A, the callousness of Neil Gorsuch, but B, how he goes out of his way to ignore acts of Congress designed to protect the American people. There was a Worker Safety Act in place that other judges found was applicable in that case. He ignored it. Again, just one example of the type of person he is. He's somebody who will consistently rule for corporations, for the powerful, against workers, women, persons with disabilities.
And Billy Courier with the American Progress, do you agree with that assessment?
I agree with that 100%. I think Judge Gorsuch's record shows that he puts corporations over workers on a consistent basis. I think that his opinion in the Hobby Lobby case is really illustrative of that as well. Judge Gorsuch was part of the very first federal court ruling that recognized that for-profit corporations could exercise religion under the First Amendment, that they could have a right to exercise religion. That was a very unprecedented view at the time. And I think, you know, most folks, when they hear about that, the idea of corporations having religion just doesn't make any sense. Of course, Judge Gorsuch's ruling was affirmed by the Supreme Court, you know, back when Justice Scalia was on the court. It was a 5-4 decision, and I think that if we see Justice Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, we're going to see a return to those 5-4 decisions that consistently favor corporations over workers.
Well, we have a number of callers on the line. Let's go to Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
In many ways...
Sorry, Nancy, can you start over?
I'm sorry about that. I was going to say, I think in many ways these hearings are useless because I think what we need to do is just look at his record, which is abominable as far as any liberal or progressive or people-oriented decisions. And during the hearing, you know, I was listening to Lindsey Graham, and it was kind of like he was just, you know, oh, what do they say in a court, leading the victim, leading the person on, you know, so he would get the answers he wanted. And, you know, Gorsuch is no different than anybody else. He's going to say whatever it takes so that he will get approved. And I don't see anything that Democrats can do to, you know, to not have him on the court. And it's horrible, but it's one of the horrible things that are happening these days. And, you know, these hearings are just ridiculous. Just, you know, look at his record. His record is awful. But, you know, what are we going to do? We can't.
Well, thank you, Nancy. And since we have limited time, let's go through a few callers and then we'll get our guest's response. Let's hear from David in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Yeah. Morning, Rose. There were two different things that I'd raise. One, you can go to Snopes and or Fact Check, I believe, both of those sites, discuss when Gorsuch was in his prep school, his little academy. In his yearbook, he claimed that he was the president and founder of Fascism Forever Club. Now, both Snopes and Fact Check claim that it's not true that there was a Fascism Forever Club in that school, but he put it in his own yearbook twice, and he discussed some of the quotes. If you go to, I believe it was the Times Herald did the original expose of that. And so when you were talking with the earlier callers about he's a very much a corporatist, fascism is the corporate state. That's the alternate definition of it.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. And if you'd like to call in, if you have any questions about Gorsuch's record, we'd like to talk specifically about that. Give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. And the hearings will resume at 9:45 in about 20 minutes. Let's talk more about Neil Gorsuch's record. David, what other cases stand out for you, specifically cases that affect everyday Americans? Daniel, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. Well, I think there's countless examples. I'll just give you a couple more that just kind of epitomize who he is. There's a case involving a worker who's working on a mine site, a construction worker, who 1 week within the job had not been given the training that even the company recognized was important for such a hazardous work environment. 1 week after starting without any training, this worker was electrocuted to death when he got too close to hazardous power line. OSHA and two other judges on the Court of Appeals recognized that the company did not fulfill its job under an act of Congress to protect workers, that there were safety violations, and they had fined the company. Neil Gorsuch went out of his way to hold that not only did the company act reasonably and shouldn't have been held to the OSHA standard, but he went out of his way to criticize OSHA for being an anti-corporate entity, that acting egregiously in this situation. Remember, this was a situation where a worker hadn't been trained and had been electrocuted to death, leaving a family, leaving a widow. And Neil Gorsuch went out of his way to side with the corporation and criticize the federal government for trying to protect workers. Another case is the case of Grace Wang. She was a professor at Kansas State University, 15-year professor. She had breast cancer and then leukemia. After a bone marrow transplant, she was coming back to work, and a flu epidemic broke out throughout the state, including at the Kansas State University campus, the H1N1 virus. And her doctor said to her, you know, I know you want to go back to work, but if you go back with your weakened immune system, you could die. So she, what she did was she asked her employer, Kansas State University, for a little more time off from her leave policy, and so she wouldn't have to return to a deadly situation. When she did so, not only was did the university deny her additional leave, but fired her. What she did was she filed suit under the Rehabilitation Act, Americans with Disabilities Act, which says that somebody who's disabled, who has cancer, is entitled to reasonable accommodation in the workforce. And in this case, she asked for several weeks off and even offered to work from home. What Neil Gorsuch said was that her request was per se unreasonable and would have been an undue burden on the employer, even though countless other cases have said, and the EEOC recognizes, that this is a case-by-case determination that shouldn't be made by a judge as a matter of law. And what comes across in a decision like that is just his callousness. He showed no empathy for somebody like Grace Wang, who wanted to come back to work, wanted to do her job, and was only exercising her rights as recognized by Congress. He actually said that the Rehabilitation Act should not be turned into a safety net for those who don't want to work, as if Grace Wang was somebody who wanted to eat Cheetos, lay on the couch, and watch soap operas all day, as opposed to somebody who was just trying to exercise her rights so she didn't have to come choose between her life or her job. That's who Neil Gorsuch is. He's somebody who doesn't have empathy for and demonstrates repeated callousness for the situations everyday Americans find themselves in, and that Congress has explicitly put laws on the books to protect. Mm.
This morning, Neil Gorsuch cited some examples of how he did not always side with the powerful. What did you think about the examples he gave?
I think, he's decided, as he repeatedly said today, he's decided 2,000-odd cases. And I think that the important thing to remember is so many of these cases are non-controversial. They have easy facts, easy law. Those aren't the tough cases that really epitomize what type of judge any jurist, or in this case Neil Gorsuch, has. I think if you look at the tough cases where there's divided panels, two judges might decide one way, one judge might decide another. Those are really cases that epitomize what type of judge he has, because those are the cases where there's tough law, tough facts. In the truck driver case I mentioned earlier, seven judges looked at that case, four judges at the Department of Labor, administrative laws, judges, two other court of appeals judges, and Neil Gorsuch. Six judges recognized that Congress had been explicitly clear that the Department of Labor should protect the health and safety of workers, and of course that truck driver acted reasonably in choosing not to die of frostbite. One out of seven judges came to the other conclusion, and that was Neil Gorsuch. He can cite a lot of other cases where the facts and law might have came to the only conclusion he could have reached. But a case like that epitomizes what's truly in his heart and where his inclinations are as a judge. And what his inclinations are is to repeatedly undermine critical acts of Congress, constitutional protections, and repeatedly side with the powerful and corporations.
Daniel Goldberg is legal director at the Alliance for Justice. Billy Courier is deputy director of legal progress at American Progress. We've got about 10 more minutes until the confirmation hearings resume, and we're talking about Judge Gorsuch's record. And if you have any questions or comments, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Billy, what are your thoughts? Again, Judge Gorsuch this morning said he hasn't always sided with the powerful.
Right. Well, I think that Daniel's absolutely right, that if you look at his record in cases
in which the judges were divided, you can see clear trends in terms of how Judge Gorsuch rules. But I think that if you also look at his statements outside of his rulings, you can get a view into how he views the law. Just yesterday, we learned that one of his law students from just last year, 2016, wrote to the Judiciary Committee about some comments that Judge Gorsuch had made in the classroom to his students about pregnancy discrimination. He basically said that it was very commonplace for women to take jobs knowing that they were going to be pregnant and need to use maternity leave, that they were somehow manipulating their employers to get time off. And he kind of went out of his way to make this point to his students. And then on top of that, he gave them what I think is very bad legal advice. He said if you're ever in a position to do hiring, you need to ask potential employees about whether or not they're planning to become pregnant, which is something that the EEOC has said employers shouldn't do. Yeah. But I think that shows his views of wanting to put employers over workers and corporations over people.
His decision in the Hobby Lobby case is one of the most cited rulings, and in that one, he sided with the majority in ruling that corporations can refuse birth control coverage to their employees on religious grounds. Billy, what are the broader implications of that ruling?
Well, we really don't know how far that reasoning can extend, but we do know that corporations have cited Hobby Lobby to justify trying to get exceptions to all kinds of federal laws. In some places where there are laws prohibiting hotels or restaurants or other businesses from serving LGBT couples, for example, these corporations that want to refuse service to LGBT couples have cited Hobby Lobby and said, hey, our corporation has a right to religious freedom, and our corporation's religious beliefs, say that we can't serve these folks because we would be somehow condoning their marriage or something like that. We've seen, even in Michigan, we've seen a funeral home which fired a transgender person and cited Hobby Lobby and the sort of the interpretation of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that the Supreme Court laid out in Hobby Lobby. So I don't think that we know how far that principle can end. I mean, it's really hard to say, because the idea of corporations having religious freedom and deciding whether or not that freedom is substantially burdened, by some federal law is just such a bizarre and abstract concept. Yeah. It's hard to say where it ends.
And Daniel, we heard Senator Lindsey Graham speak in very detailed terms about abortion. Now, on abortion, Neil Gorsuch has not written a court opinion, but his nomination was hailed by anti-abortion groups, and Donald Trump has repeatedly said that he would appoint an anti-abortion judge. So what should we make of that?
I think you're exactly right, that the president made clear throughout this campaign that he has a litmus test. And that litmus test was he was going to appoint a judge that, and this is his words, quote unquote, will automatically overturn Roe v. Wade. Donald Trump outsourced his decision making process to hyper conservative, radical organizations like the Federalist Society and Heritage Foundation, who all support overturning Roe v. Wade. I think it's very clear that they must know something that Neil Gorsuch is trying to hide today in refusing to answer Senator Feinstein's questions earlier about what he thinks of the precedents that the Supreme Court has decided. But beyond that, while Neil Gorsuch does not have a direct ruling on Roe v. Wade or Casey, the 1992 case that reaffirmed the central holding of Roe, his record does demonstrate that, quite frankly, his views on the importance of, or in his words, the lack of importance of women's reproductive health care. The Hobby Lobby case, for example. What's remarkable about his writings in the Hobby Lobby case is nowhere does he talk about the interests of and the importance of the contraceptive health care to women. He talks a great deal about the importance of the religious rights corporation, but nowhere does he talk about the interests of millions of women throughout the country. Another case I just want to put on the table is a case involving Planned Parenthood versus Utah. This is the Republican governor of Utah unilaterally decided to defund Planned Parenthood in the state. And Planned Parenthood brought suit, and a panel of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals said that the judge had likely acted, or the governor had likely acted unconstitutionally, and issued a preliminary injunction to stop the governor's actions. At that point, some judge on the 10th Circuit, it's not clear who, but asked for the full 10th Circuit to review the decision. What's important is the state of Utah nor Planned Parenthood had sought full court review, had appealed to the full 10th Circuit. But Neil Gorsuch would have had the full 10th Circuit review that decision and made clear that he thought the governor had acted appropriately to defund Planned Parenthood. What's important about that case is another judge actually writes the concurrence calling out Judge Gorsuch, and specifically says, and this is the judge's words, that Neil Gorsuch repeatedly misrepresented the facts and the law to reach his conclusion. So I think there was a conversation earlier about will Neil Gorsuch hold the president accountable? Will he be independent of President Trump? I think you have to look at the Planned Parenthood versus Utah case. This is a case where a Republican governor unilaterally took action, ideologically driven actions, to defund Planned Parenthood. And the rest of the, and other judges on the court rightly recognized that this was unconstitutional. And Neil Gorsuch went out of his way to misrepresent facts, misrepresent laws, to reach an ideologically driven conclusion that the Republican governor could have taken away critical health care from women.
Well, it sounds like we're going back to the hearing, so I want to thank both of you for joining us, Daniel Goldberg, Legal Director at the Alliance for Justice, and Billy Courier, Deputy Director of Legal Progress at American Progress. You gave us so many cases. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for all the information.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you. We'll definitely continue to cover Judge Gorsuch. We're going to go back to the hearings. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.